I love that. I feel like a superhero every time I hear that. But anyway, we're in the third week of our series called Everyday Heroes. And it's a fun series. We're getting to talk about some men and women that maybe we don't normally hear about. Some people who are just everyday people. And I think sometimes when we read the Bible and we read these stories about some miracles and some of the amazing things that happen, sometimes it's easy to see that that's distant from our life today. But what we're doing in this series is kind of taking the cape and mask off of some of these men and women to see them for who they really were, ordinary people who got connected to an extraordinary God. And because of their connection to him, God used them in powerful ways. And so we're going through several different people. And today, one of the things that happens every Sunday for me is I get a... almost every single time, well, no, every Sunday when we're setting up, preparing this place for worship, I get a text message from somebody. And it's one of my greatest encouragers and a great friend, Greg Arthur. And I get a text message every single Sunday. In fact, I was going back and I was showing my wife, like every single Sunday, doesn't miss a beat. It's while we're transforming this space from a cafeteria, from a school into a worship center, a place where we can come and worship the Lord. I got a text message again, and it was a text of encouragement from Greg. Now, Greg is a guy who I was one of my youth leaders growing up. I met him at my home church. He was just an everyday and is an everyday guy like many of us, and just took some time when I was growing up to invest in my life, to spend time with me and to invest in the lives of teenagers. Who does that? But he did. And because of that, it really helped me to grow in my faith. But the thing that was cool is not only was he an incredible encourager for me then, but when I went off to college, I would go to my P.O. box. Y'all remember this in school. You go to your box and there's nothing ever there except for some bill from the school or something like that. And I would always open my box and expect something completely empty. And all of a sudden there would be a care package or a note of encouragement from Greg telling me, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you and you're not alone. And that's continued over and over, this incredible friendship. And it's one of those things where sometimes I feel like I kind of don't deserve that kind of friend, because maybe sometimes I'm not as good of a friend to other people or even to him, but he continues to encourage me. So I got a text message today, and the text message was encouraging me. And usually it's saying something like this: I'm praying for you, I'm praying for the people at the fountain, and I want you to, and usually some kind of Bible verse to kind of do that. And the thing that's so cool about that is when I'm standing on the stage, there's lights on, you know, all this crazy stuff around. Sometimes the thing that you don't realize is that I'm not standing here alone, that there's somebody who's been praying for me, but also praying for all of you and is praying for you right now behind the scenes. And you would have never known of the impact of this person had I not shared this with you. And so we're talking about today a Bible figure who, a person in the Bible who was very similar to this. He's kind of an unknown hero. It's a person who oftentimes goes unnoticed. It was this person, I love this person because he was not he didn't do anything supernatural. He didn't walk on water. He didn't kill a giant with a slingshot. He didn't, you know, pray and the sun stand still. He didn't do anything like that. He was kind of an average Joe who got connected to a living God and was an incredible encourager. And this person we're talking about today was the person that the apostles named Barnabas. Barnabas. Now, I loved how I was telling some people about this message this week, and so many people were like, oh, great, who's Barnabas? And that's exactly the way Barnabas was. That's how he lived his life. Barnabas is actually not his real name. His real name was Joseph. This is not Jesus' stepdaddy. You know, this is not, you know, Joseph and Mary. This is a different Joseph. But the early apostles saw Joseph and kind of the life he lived, and they gave him the nickname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. And the thing about Barnabas that I love is that his name, Barnabas, appears more than Joseph. It's scattered throughout the entire book of Acts, and it comes in just little teeny tiny fragments. But every single time, almost every time, you read about the Apostle Paul, one of the ones who was an incredible missionary and wrote a lot of our New Testament, almost every time you read about the Apostle Paul, the name Barnabas is right there with him. And yet he hardly ever gets the credit. In fact, when Paul is listed so many times, even if Barnabas is not listed, he's usually in the context of what's going on. And so Barnabas was a big deal in helping the church to have explosive growth under the direction and the power of God, but also in making an impact on so many people. Acts chapter 11 tells us that Barnabas was known as a good man. Now that might seem like no big deal, but he was known as a good man, a good friend, someone you wanted to be around. And it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of faith. And because of who he was, because of the faith he had and the power of the Holy Spirit was so surrounding him, he was the kind of person that you wanted to be around. Because every time you were around him, you felt like you were a better person. I want to be a Barnabas like that too. But Barnabas, what we're talking about today is how he was a different kind of hero. He was a hero because he made heroes of other people. He was a hero because he made heroes of other people. So we're going to look at this, three different passages today, really quick snapshots of how Barnabas was a hero-like encourager and a hero for heroes. So Acts chapter 4 is the first one we're going to look at today, verses 36 and 37. And I'm going to read it first, and we'll talk about kind of what it means, but you have to pay attention. He flies by really quickly. This is how Barnabas comes on the scene, chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Here's what it says. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And that's all we get of Barnabas. Isn't that interesting? That's how he comes on the biblical narrative. We get two verses for this incredible hero. And the thing, just to kind of catch you up on what's been happening, at this time, the church had begun, Pentecost had happened, the Holy Spirit came on the early church, and it was growing like wildfire. The Lord was adding to their number daily, those who were being saved, and it was such a dynamic movement that they didn't even know what to call it. It wasn't called the church. People called them followers of the way. They didn't even have a name, and yet it was exploding with growth, and it wasn't just growth. The love of God was so evident in what they were doing. Miracles were happening, and people said, if God is offering this connection to him through Jesus Christ, I want it too. And so it was growing, and so many things were happening. And Barnabas comes along, and he was Jewish, but he wasn't living in Israel. He was living in this island off the Mediterranean called Cyprus. And somewhere along the way, we learned that Barnabas made his way to Jerusalem, where he became a follower of Jesus and got connected to this Jesus movement. He became a follower of the way. And so I want you to notice, though, about Barnabas. We read two verses of him, and one of the verses told what he did. The other one was about who he was. Although he was a behind-the-scenes kind of guy in our Bible, the thing I want you to notice is that he wasn't behind the scenes in the church. He wasn't just a spectator in the church. You know, the thing that's interesting about that, when Jesus impacted his life, he didn't just sit in the pews and, as some people say, become a pew potato. You ever heard that before? You know, he didn't just sit in the pews and say, oh, that's nice, and just watch what Jesus was doing in the hearts and lives of people and say, well, maybe he could do that in me someday. That looks really good. Good luck to you guys. He wasn't that kind of guy. Barnabas, God prompted his heart to look at what he had to offer, to see what he had to offer, and to see how he could use that to serve God. And so if you're taking notes, here's the first thing we kind of learn about Barnabas as a hero. The first thing we learn is that heroes see a need and choose to get involved with what they have. Heroes see a need and choose to get involved with what they have. That's what Barnabas did. Now, we don't think Barnabas was rich. Nothing gives us that impression. He just owned some property. He had some property. It's what he had. And he took what he had and decided that he was going to sell that when he saw the Jesus movement and what was happening. He wanted to sell that and to give that money in order to advance the kingdom, in order to advance the mission of God. And his generosity supported and encouraged the ministry of the church. Now, this is a time where we can just pause here and just say, you know, one of the things is that never underestimate how your generosity not only supports the church, but encourages us all together. Your generosity makes a difference in so many different ways. You know, one of the greatest temptations, I think, in the church today is to kind of do the opposite of what Barnabas did, to maybe hear or see what God wants to do and what God wants to accomplish and choose to stay in our seats, choose to remain comfortably uninvolved. I think so many times in the American church, this is kind of where we sit. and where we are. And I'm so thankful for us at the Fountain that we're on a mission here, that we're not on a cruise ship. We're not on a cruise ship where, you know, serve me and help me. We're on a battleship. We're going somewhere. We're on a mission. But the thing that I see so many times in the American church is that we often miss what God already wants to accomplish, because sometimes in the American church, we choose our comfort over God's kingdom. We choose our comfort over helping to further what God wants to do in the world. And for Barnabas, he was so compelled by what God was doing, not just in the church, but through the church and in the world. And when Barnabas looked at the church, he realized it wasn't perfect. It was a bunch of imperfect people, just like you and me. In fact, sometimes I hear people say, oh, if we could just go back to the way the early church was. The early church was messed up. They had some major decisions to make. They had some problems in the church as well. There were some imperfect people. But God grabbed the hearts and lives of these imperfect people and used them to transform the world. And so Barnabas saw this. People were coming to Jesus day in and day out, and the disciples were supporting and encouraging each other, and they were making a difference in the world. And Barnabas realized that God wanted to use him in ways that were so much bigger than his own personal interests. And I believe that this is a work of the Holy Spirit, something God was doing in his heart, that he saw this love that never fails and never gives up in his life. And he saw this happening and how it wasn't just a soft love, but a love that transformed people's lives. And I think that God transformed his heart to saying to the church, instead of saying, serve me, transformed him to moving towards service. From serve me to, God, how can I be of service to you? How can I be a part of what you're doing through the church? You know, I talk to so many people, in fact, it's even in our purpose statement here at the Fountain, that say something like this: what is my purpose? I mean, with the time that I have on this earth, what does God want me to do with the time that I have? So we say leading people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we look to God and we say, Lord, if I only had this, if I only had dot, 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 if I only had this opportunity, if I only had this blessing, if I only had this gift, if I only had this much time, then I would serve you with that stuff. If I only had. But the thing I love is there's a snapshot in the Old Testament when Moses didn't think he had very much to offer to God. He didn't think he had a whole lot to offer. He felt pretty inadequate. And I love this question that God asked Moses one time. The question was this: Moses, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Now, for Moses, it was just a staff, just a stick to him. And he didn't realize, but under the direction of God, that God would use that staff, that when he raised it, it would part the Red Sea and would send his people to freedom. He didn't realize all the things that God was going to do with what's in his hand. And so I ask you a very similar question to what God asked Moses: what's in your hand? Because God has put so many things in your hands, different talents and gifts and opportunities and blessings in your hand. And he wants you to start serving him with what you've got, to bring to the table what you've got and who you are and the gifts that you have, and say, God, I don't know what you can do with this, but I want you to use me here. And the thing that happens when we do that is we become heroes, because heroes see a need and choose to get involved with what they have. That's what we learn from Barnabas. The next example comes from Acts chapter 9. You can go ahead and turn there in your Bibles if you like, but the words will also be on the screen. Let me set the context first so you understand what's going on. This is right, the early church in the book of Acts, there's this man named Saul. And Saul was this incredible persecutor of Christianity. We know him now as Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. God transformed his life. And so Saul was one of the greatest enemies of the church. And he was given permission by the Jewish ruling council to have anyone who was a follower of Jesus, if he found anyone who was following Jesus, have them thrown in jail or potentially to have them killed. And so the early church was incredibly afraid of him. But while he's on the road to Damascus, the Lord basically strikes him with a lightning bolt, and Jesus speaks to him. Yikes. I think this is a symbol of grace. God is saying, I'm giving you another shot. Turn, you know, stop persecuting the church. I'm right here. Come follow me. And Saul decided to put his faith in Jesus, and he joined the Jesus movement. This guy who was hating Christians and killing Christians, he was a guy who turned his life around, or his life was turned around by the Lord. And then he started preaching the good news and sharing about Jesus with everybody. And I want you to check out what happens, chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. It's kind of funny to see how they responded. Here's what it says. When he came, that's Saul, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. You can imagine why. Not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so here this guy is, Saul, and you can imagine how everyone was afraid of him. I mean, many of them, when Saul came around, they're probably thinking, buddy, you're the guy that put my relative in jail. I don't want anything to do with you. No, you're not allowed in this church. Get away from here. In fact, Saul was wanting to preach for them, and he was wanting to go to their secret meetings. Let me know where you meet. And they're probably thinking, man, you're just wanting to befriend us so you can turn us in. You know, they're all freaked out about this, afraid of this guy. And so here they were. Barnabas comes along, and he saw the reality. He saw that what God was doing in his life was a real thing. He saw that his conversion was so incredibly real. He wasn't trying to trick him. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he wanted other people to know Jesus too. And so he took Paul, Barnabas did, and he brought him and connected him to the church. And so that's the second thing we see of Barnabas, and what made him an incredible encourager is that he was the one who built a bridge to connect people to Christ. You know, when everybody else was afraid of Paul, when everyone else said, this church isn't for people like you, you know, this church isn't for somebody like you. You're going to do something with us. You're going to mess up this organization that's going on. Barnabas befriended this guy. He befriended Paul, and he had the courage and commitment to bring Paul, this incredible persecutor of Christians who had given his life to Jesus, and to connect him to the church he so desperately needed. We need Barnabases in this world. God wants to use us in that kind of way. But I think so many times in the church today, I think we're afraid to respond to people like the church did when they first encountered Paul. I think sometimes we respond in that kind of way. That maybe we see somebody and we know their past and we hear, oh, they've accepted Jesus. And maybe sometimes we say, oh, well, I know what you've done before. I don't know if somebody like you is welcome in a place like this. Or maybe we get suspicious of somebody and we start saying, well, you know, you need to start acting a certain way. I need to see certain behaviors in your life before you start hanging out in our groups. We do that so many times, even for people who just committed their life to Christ. But Barnabas built a bridge and connected Paul to the church that he so desperately needed. And I want you to think about the commitment it took Barnabas. It cost him some time. I mean, he had to spend some time investing in this guy, investing in this person. And I think so many of us are so guarded with our time, so protective of our time. And yet Barnabas was a friend that he was willing to give up his time to connect him to Jesus. I think it took some effort. Not only did it take him some time, but it would have been easier to stay uninvolved. But yet it took him some effort to do that. And it also took Barnabas was willing to rearrange his plans in order to connect Paul to the church. I don't know about you, but sometimes my plans are, I've got my calendar, I've got my schedule, I've got everything in place. And sometimes I think the word that God has for us here is, I think there's times when we need to be open to how God wants to shift and reschedule our life, reschedule things so that we can invest in people and connect them to Jesus. And so the question I want to ask you is this: what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to connect people to the church? What are you willing to do to connect people to the church? That's what Barnabas did. The world needs more Barnabases, more sons of encouragement, more bridge builders. And I think we need this message in the church. We need to hear this story of Barnabas because so many people in this world are lonely and need a friend. Now, I'm going to quote the Beatles, so if you want to put your seatbelts on and say, what are we talking about the Beatles for in church? Here, there's a song that the Beatles sing, and I think it speaks this reality really well about our need for Barnabases in our life. And you know the song. It goes like this. Eleanor Rigsby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. And then it later says, ah, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? Ah, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all belong? I'll tell you where they belong. They belong in the church. They belong in a connection with Jesus, in the presence of Jesus. They belong in the loving embrace of his grace. They belong with Jesus and in the church. And the reality is people don't just get connected and find their way to Jesus or the church in a vacuum. They don't just make it there by accident. They need people, Barnabases in their life, who are willing to invest in their life, to befriend them, and to do whatever it takes to connect them to the church that they so desperately need. We need to be Barnabases in our spheres of influence for the people around us. Because the world can be so tough. And everybody needs a friend that can connect them to a God who can change their life. And so are you that kind of friend to anyone? Are you that kind of friend to anyone? The second way Barnabas was a hero is that he was a hero who built a bridge to connect people to the church. The third one's really quick. It's comes Acts chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 42 and 43. There's so many more examples of how Barnabas was given the name Son of Encouragement. There's, obviously, you don't get that by one time by being an encourager. But this is another snapshot that I think is pretty cool. So here's what it says, verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. So Paul and Barnabas, they were both sharing the gospel. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, they're together, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. And so not only was Barnabas an incredible encourager by the way he got involved with what he had, not only did he build a bridge that connected people to the Lord and to the church, but Barnabas was a hero because he did ministry alongside of Paul as a co-laborer. You know, what's interesting is sometimes we picture Barnabas as kind of like, you know, holding Billy Graham's Bible and saying, go get him, son, you know, good message, amen, and I'm going to watch this from a distance. But it says that Paul and Barnabas were preaching the gospel together. They shared in this ministry together, and it was an incredible encouragement to the ministry of Paul. Paul gets all the press, but Barnabas was right there with him, encouraging him and doing ministry alongside of him. Here's what it means for us today. Every single Christian is called to be in ministry. You know this. We talk about this a lot. But the reality is, if you're a follower of Jesus, by virtue of your faith in Christ, all of us have been given the Great Commission to go and make disciples, to love God, love people, and make disciples, and to share in this, helping people to get connected and growing closer to Christ. And all of us have been given specific gifts that God wants us to use in the world in our spheres of influence. See, God wants us to use those things. But the reality is God wants us to be Barnabases who serve together as co-laborers in ministry together. And you know, one of the things that we ask people to do at the Fountain, we ask them to do three things, really. We try to keep it simple because it's a very biblical thing. We ask people to come to worship regularly. Congratulations, you're here. The second thing is to get connected in a refresh group and also to get connected in a serve team, to serve in a serve team. Now, here's why we kind of say this. A serve team is a great way to do ministry alongside of other people, to be a Barnabas that does ministry alongside of other people. It's a way to use your gifts and talents and the things that God has given you to serve God and God's people here at the church. But the thing we've seen so many times is that if people start serving God in the church, what starts to happen is they start to see opportunities to make an influence and impact outside of the church, to use their gifts in ministry out there. And so if you don't have a ministry outlet, we'd love to help you to find that. But heroes serve as co-laborers in the ministry of Christ. And so we not only need to be Barnabases in our life, but we also need to be, we need some Barnabases in our life. We need to be connected to some Barnabases. We need some Greg Arthurs. We need some people in our life who will encourage us and befriend us. We need friends, encouragers who get involved in our lives and spend time with us. We need friends who will help us to build a bridge to get more connected to Christ. And we need friends who care enough to do ministry alongside of us. See, we're not meant to do life alone or to do faith alone. So another great way to do that, it's hard to find Barnabases in our life, but a great way we do that here at the Fountain is through refresh groups, by getting connected in a group, a family that can care about you and love you and know your story and pray for you and all sorts of things. And so I'd love to encourage you to get involved in one of those. But here's how I want to end this message, kind of two questions. Do you have any true friends or encouragers in your life? And if not, what are you going to do to find them? Do you have those Barnabases in your life? What are you going to do to find them if you don't? And the second question is this, is how can you be a Barnabas to somebody in your life? How can you be a Barnabas this week in somebody's life around you?